Now, we just finished Feast of Trumpets. Christ is here on the earth. The saints have been resurrected. So what happens next in sequence? Many in God's church are confused, believing that the seven last plagues occur at this time. Some believe we will be on the Mount of Olives after Christ's return, watching the seven last plagues carried out. Others believe we will be up in heaven for the marriage and wedding supper of Christ with the resurrected saints while the seven last plagues are being poured out on the earth below. And still others believe, between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, that Christ with the resurrected saints will be in the clouds above the earth watching during the seven last plagues. So when will the seven last plagues occur? And what will really happen during this time period between the Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement? Now, when will the seven last plagues occur? Mr. Armstrong summarized what happens when we are resurrected in his last sermon given on the Feast of Trumpets, September 16, 1985. Now, here are the actual words spoken by him talking about the world's churches. This is talking about the world's churches now. And he says, and so, quote, and so they think that when he comes, he's only coming to meet us as we take off to heaven. They overlook 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, where it says, at that time, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and they shall rise first, and we which are alive will not prevent or precede their coming. They will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be instantly translated from mortal to immortal, and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's not coming to meet us as we go to heaven. We are going to meet him as he returns here. But where does he go? Zechariah 14 says that very same day we're going to meet him in the air in the clouds, and he's coming on down from those clouds and land on the Mount of Olives just to the east of Jerusalem. Then Mr. Armstrong states further on in the same sermon, talking about the coming of Christ. He says that if we are still living, the dead will come first. They will rise first at the coming of Christ. Then we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from mortal to immortal and rise and meet them in the air. But we are only going to meet Christ as he's on his way back to the earth. He's not meeting us. We're not going to heaven. There is not a word in the Bible that says we will ever go to heaven. God has ordained that this earth is going to be the headquarters of the entire universe. So when does the wedding and marriage of Jesus Christ to the church happen? Now here's what Mr. Armstrong said in the booklet, Pagan Holidays and God's Holy Days, which, in the 1957 version, it was on page 24, and I have a copy of this explanation. He says, here are pictured those final culminating events and God's great plan. After Christ has died for our sins to redeem mankind, after he has sent us the Holy Spirit and picked out a people for his name to become kings and priests through the 1,000 years, after his glorious second coming, after he has finally restored the redeemed by placing all the sins upon the head of Satan, their real author, and separating both him and the sins from the presence of God and his people thus finally perfecting the at-one-ment, making us finally joined in one, then we are ready for that final series of events, the commencement of the marriage of the Lamb, the final actual making of the new covenant, the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth, and the reaping of the great harvest of souls for 1,000 years. This festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, is a picture of the millennium. Now also, in Lesson 38 of the Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course, on that page 14, they make a note, this was the Feast of Tabernacles lesson. It says, "These are the days of the Feast of Tabernacles God set aside to be kept perpetually as the wedding anniversary of Christ and His bride." That wedding anniversary. Now, if you go back to the two issues of the Plain Truth magazine in 1934, the February and especially the June-July issue, there were charts including a very detailed explanation of the timed sequence of events found in the story flow of the Book of Revelation. These same charts, with a more summary explanation, were included in a 1952 booklet titled Key to the Book of Revelation, and in a 1972 revision of the Book of Revelation Unveiled at Last, pages 16 to 17. Mr. Armstrong's charts and explanations never changed from the original charts. The expression that a chart or picture is worth 1,000 words, it tells it like it is. The intent and meaning explaining God's Word, the Bible, never changed. Now I have an enlarging of the one of the charts there in the 1934 July-August Plain Truth, and it's a story flow of Revelation. This is one of them. Let's see if you all can see this. But it explains in sequence of events, time sequence, and the story flow. And you can see the seven seals, the seven trumpet plagues, and then the seven of the seven last plagues. And then after all this, it has the second coming of Christ. Now in these charts, you will notice that the Battle of Armageddon, which that was at the same time as second coming of Christ, and the actual second coming of Christ, pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, is the final conclusion of God's wrath. The seven last plagues come before, not after, the second coming of Christ. And that's exactly, we'll take a look at these, at this story flow again, time sequence. There it is. The seals, seven seals, the trumpet plagues, and then the seven last plagues. And right at the end, the seven last plagues is that second coming of Christ. Now here's what Mr. Armstrong was inspired to understand in the story flow of Revelation 11. Let's turn there. Revelation 11, chapter 15, chapter 11 of Revelation 15 and of Revelation, excuse me, that is Revelation 11, verse 15. And I'm going to read this from the King James Version. And it states in the King James Version for Revelation 11 and verse 15, got it right. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are," but that word also, the Greek word can mean will, are or will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. At the beginning of the third woe, or the seven last plagues, with Christ's return just several weeks away, it is announced that the world rule of all nations has arrived. Now, this is just the announcement of Christ's soon return, not the actual second coming of Christ found later in Revelation 19. Now let's turn to Revelation 16 and verse 15. And let's see what happens between the sixth and seventh of these seven last plagues. Gives a clue. It says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So between the sixth and seventh of these seven last plagues, the warning is sounded more, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." Now, Christ has not yet come as a thief here. The thief illustration is used to show the uncertainty of the hour or time of his coming. Now, continuing in chapter 16, and we'll just pick up in verse 17. We'll go to verse 21. Of course, this is after the six of the seven last plagues, where the armies are gathering to the place of Armageddon. It says, verse 17, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talon," that was somewhere in the 100-pound range. "Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." Now, at the precise time that the armies of the Gentile nations are gathering before Jerusalem for this final battle, the seventh and last plague falls. This appears to be at the precise time of the second coming of Christ. There is the most mighty earthquake in all history. The plagues itself, the last of the seven last plagues, will also include great hailstones, as we just read. Then follow, after this, two more inset chapters, 17 and 18. They're inset chapters. And we pick up the story flow of time sequence again in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Now we come to the mighty climax of the whole Revelation, the second coming of Christ. We'll be going into this a little further, a little later. Just as a side point, as found in Daniel 12 and verse 12, we won't turn there, but the work of the church of preaching the gospel message to the world as a witness ends at the 1335 days before the return of Christ. However, God's work of preaching the gospel found in Matthew 24 and verse 14 continues with the two witnesses from that point on, because the "and then the end" will come has not happened yet. This is when the 1260 days of their prophecy begins, mentioned, and we will turn to there to Revelation 11, verse 3. It says, Revelation verse 3, this is God saying that I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. Then right at the end of these 1260 days, they are killed by the beast power. 3.5 days later, they are raised physically by the breath of life coming back into them, and then physically translated up into the clouds, similar to the way Elijah was in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, in proper context of Revelation 11:11, let's go there. It says, now after 3.5 days, they were killed. After 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. These are the two witnesses. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Now, the root meaning of the Greek word 4150 is pneuma. Here is breath of life. That's what it's called, the breath of life. Also, now this is interesting, a key point that this is a physical resurrection is found in, and let's turn to Ezekiel 37. Keep your place here in Revelation 11. Ezekiel 37. Starting in verse 3. Of course, this is a valley of dry bones, Israel. And this is God's hand. To Ezekiel, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Verse 5, and thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And then verses 9 and 10, it says, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, that's the breath of life, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath, or the breath of life, came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now let's compare this same verse. Let's go over it again. Verse 10 of Ezekiel 37. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath of life came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now let's turn back to Revelation 11 and verse 11, and let's see the similarity here. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. So we know that that's a physical resurrection. Now this is at the end of the second woe and just before the seven last plagues begin. 45 days before the actual return of Christ. And finally, in Revelation 15, chapter 15 of Revelation, let's turn there and we'll read just verse 1. We're going to move through the seven last plagues. It says, of Revelation 15 and verse 1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. for in them the wrath of God is complete. The seven last plagues fills up or completes the wrath of God, as it says. And let's turn to Revelation 16 and verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And verse 17 of Revelation 16, it says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven, the throne, saying, it is done. All seven trumpets, which include the seven last plagues, are included within the one-year period of the day of the Lord and before Christ's return. Just before. As Christ is returning with his holy angels, it is stated in Revelation 14:10, and that's the wrath of God, that these last plagues are to be poured out in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, sometimes it is what God doesn't say that reveals its true meaning. Notice, this is not in the presence of the resurrected saints. That has not happened yet. Christ is returning to the earth, but the battle of Armageddon, or that great day of God Almighty, as it's called, has not taken place yet. Nor has he set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Now let's turn that story flow to Revelation 19, and we'll pick up this story flow of time sequence in verse 11 of Revelation 19. And it says, so we're going to go through some of these verses. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So he judges and makes war. And verse 14, and the armies in heaven, which are the angels, those are the armies, in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him, Christ, on white horses. And then verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army, Christ and his angels. So we see that Christ and his angels, and these armies are from heaven, which do not include the saints, will arrive on God's appointed time, the Feast of Trumpets. On that day, the Feast of Trumpets, the mightiest battle ever fought on this earth will have finally finished God's wrath. The saints are then resurrected and meet Christ in the air. And then Christ will descend down and set his feet on the Mount of Olives with the resurrected saints. And let's turn to Zechariah 14. And let's see where that's mentioned. Zechariah 14. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. Says, and the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, the Feast of Trumpets, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now, After this, Christ can begin to restore all things. And let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21. It says, "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now, as Christ begins to restore all things, what will really happen in this time frame between the Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement? The Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course, Lesson 36, mentions that the last trumpet announces the second exodus, when Christ will begin to gather the remnant of Israel, and the exodus will continue on into the millennium. So let's turn to Isaiah. We're going to turn to those prophets that God was talking about in that restoration of, about the restoration of all things of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11. And that's verse 11. Of Isaiah 11, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea," essentially all over the world. And let's turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. And we'll read verses 12 and 13. It says, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country." And now let's turn to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, that's just after Jonah. Micah chapter 4, and we'll read verse 6. It says again, "In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted." Now, let's turn to Zechariah again, to chapter 10 this time. Zechariah chapter 10. And we'll read verses 8 to 10 of Zechariah 10. It says, "I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them. And they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them." Now here is just another proof that the terrible seven last plagues have been completed. Immediately after the Feast of Trumpets, all the plagues that were poured out on the captors of God's people have ended. God's people, physical Israel, those that are remaining, then freed from captivity, will be able to peacefully and safely begin traveling back to the promised land, as further explained, and let's turn there. This is explained in Jeremiah. It links the timing to where it should be. Chapter 16 of Jeremiah, and we'll read verses 13 to 15. It says, Jeremiah 16, okay, verse 13. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you will serve other gods day and night, where I will show no mercy to you. That's during the tribulation and the day of the Lord. 14, verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. And we'll see the other connection of this timing in a little bit. So also, from the 1957 booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, on page 18, it says, Christ directly intervenes in world affairs at the seventh or the last trump. Now, a trumpet is a symbol of war, so we know. He comes in a time of worldwide war, when the nations are angry. As soon as the work of gathering the first fruits is completed at the end of this present age, then Christ will begin to set up again the tabernacle of David, to set up his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, to search out and to find his lost sheep that the ministers of the churches have failed to search out and seek, and find and save during this period. And notice exactly when this takes place. And let's turn to Isaiah 27. This is the other key of when. Isaiah 27, and we'll read verses 12 and 13 of Isaiah 27. It says, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river of the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come, who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. When will Israel be regathered? At the sound of the trump, after the second coming of Christ, the Feast of Trumpets. What else will happen during this time? Let's go back to just after World War II was over in 1945. With the war over, both in Europe and later in Japan, the Allies quickly started rounding up and bringing to justice all of those enemy national and top military leaders who were responsible for starting and carrying out the war. They were immediately jailed and brought before international judges to a relatively quick judgment, proving the facts of their actions from breaking God's law. And their sin found them out. The final court hearing found them guilty, and a sentence was then pronounced on each of them. The sentence was carried out soon after. Now, this is a physical example that happens after war. Now let's look at this. Now, after Christ has returned to the earth, the final world war has ended with the Battle of Armageddon, or the battle of that great day of God Almighty, and the beast and false prophet have been captured and sentenced, carried out immediately then. Now, after this, between the Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement, Satan and his demons will be rounded up and temporarily held for quick judgment. Who will be judging them? Under Christ's authority. We, the resurrected saints, will be judging not the faithful angels, of course, but the fallen angels, with the main culprit, Satan, judged by Christ. And let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 22. It says that, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." That shows that Christ will be doing the judging, not God the Father. Who else will Christ use to judge? And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6 to see. 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read verse 3. It says, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So it says, "Do you not know that we will judge the angels?" The Greek word 29:19 for judge here is pronounced krino, which means distinguish, that is to decide judicially, and implies to judge, to try, to condemn or punish, to call in question, and sentence to. So, God is a God of justice as well as a God of mercy. Now remember, God's wrath has ended with the seven last plagues completed by the return of Christ on the Feast of Trumpets. Now from the Feast of Trumpets until the Day of Atonement, people are beginning to return in a great exodus back from all parts of the world, from where they had been scattered, back to the land that God has as an inheritance. And he gave that as an inheritance to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, including Jerusalem. And also, as a result of this 10-day judgment period, full justice will then finally come to Satan and the fallen angels for their own guilt in our sins. We will then see the actual final judgment and sentence being carried out on the Day of Atonement coming up just 2 days from now.